No problem, I will. So, ensuring quality care and competency-based approach. And many eminent speakers have already come and spoken on various important subject matters. And all those...
अरे रवि, एको का ये तो आया था, एको कमी करता था.
So all these important things will be incomplete if spiritual care is not considered. And when spiritual care is considered, all those things will become meaningful. All that you do in your nursing profession will become very meaningful if you add spiritual care to that. In our hospital, we have a department of spiritual care. अरे रवि, इसका आवाज बराबर नहीं आ रहा है, इसको कैंसिल करो. चालू है कॉर्डलेस?
वाव,
गुड.
कॉर्डलेस चालू तो अच्छा है.
हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा. दिस इज बेटर, दिस इज मच बेटर. सो स्पिरिचुअल केयर इज एक्चुअली द मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट इंग्रेडिएंट्स इन योर केयर. मेनी पीपल डोंट इवन नो अबाउट इट, दैट व्हाट वी आर मिसिंग. बट मेनी पीपल हैव सो मेनी प्रॉब्लम्स दैट देयर इज नर्सेस अट्रिशन, देयर इज एब्सेंटिज्म, एंड देयर इज मिस्टेक्स परफॉर्म्ड, एंड देयर इज एब्सेंट माइंडेडनेस ड्यूरिंग द वर्क. दीज आर नॉट because of nursing inefficiency, but these are because of so many other problems in life that you are facing. Because you are also a daughter, also a wife, also a mother, also daughter-in-law, and there are so many other roles that you are playing. And those roles and the challenges that you face during playing those roles also affect your work, right? If you are upset because your son is admitted in some hospital, you will be absent, or even if you are present, your mind will be not there in the work, and that time the mistakes occur. So spirituality in nursing will actually teach you how to balance yourself, how to play your role in each role nicely, and how to interrelate all the roles while you are playing those roles. Because the same person is acting at home as daughter-in-law, and same person comes here and acts as head nurse. How to integrate these two things, and how to keep the cool at the mind while you are doing your roles nicely. And I'm sure all of you would like to be a best daughter-in-law and a best nurse in the hospital also. Who will not like to be like that, right? You like to play all the roles very nicely, and you like to be also glorified that, oh, this lady is such an expert nurse and a very good daughter-in-law also, a very good wife also. You'll all like to have that kind of thing. But how to do it is a very million-dollar question. So, in my small presentation, I would like to introduce you to the concept of spiritual care. Your hospital may not have the luxury of the department like we have here. Municipality maybe, or private hospitals may not have that. But we will talk about it again and again and again, so that one day will come and all of your institutes will have something like this in your own place. That is our dream, that one day everybody will recognize the importance of spiritual care, and they will also have such spiritual care in their own working places. And all this, what we are dreaming, what we already have here, maybe you like to have in future, will be seen in the future. That's why we are always talking about this subject matter. Every time, whenever we have a symposia or a conference, we keep talking about it regularly, so that at least the seed is planted in your heart. At least you know something that I'd want to have and I don't have. At least concept is very clear. So, you can see our mission statement. A very unique mission statement. I will read for you with love and devotion. This is the first and foremost thing. We all are nursing. We are giving nursing care. But love and devotion is a very precious addition to that. When you do that nursing care with the love and devotion, love for the patient, devotion for the Lord. Concern and care. If my mother comes, do I have to be told, please give your care with love? If my mother gets admitted, I don't have to be told that I should be caring with love. Like that feeling has to be there for every patient. So with love and devotion, we will offer everyone. That means we will not differentiate. Not this one, not that one. Without any differentiation, we'll offer everyone. What we'll offer? A modern, scientific and holistic healthcare service. Modern, scientific, you all understand very nicely. What is holistic? There are two meanings of holistic. One, holistic means Ayurveda, acupuncture, magnetotherapy, Ayurveda and maybe allopathy together, all kinds of pathies together, acupuncture all together. That is one way of understanding of holistic. Another way of understanding of holistic is body, mind and soul. The care is not only given to the body, not only to the mind, or not only body and mind. The third dimension, the fourth dimension of health as per WHO is what? Physical, mental, social and spiritual well-being, right? But spiritual well-being remains in the books only. It doesn't come out of the books. So, that is holistic. When we include the soul along with the body and along with the mind. Along with the body and mind, when soul is included, it becomes holistic, right? So, it is a modern, scientific and holistic healthcare service based on true awareness and understanding. You may understand something, but still you may not be aware of something. You may understand that caring with love is important. You understood that, but still you don't practice that. That means you are not aware that this is what it is. Suppose I understand that everybody is part and parcel of the Lord. I have understood that. But when I deal with you, do I deal with you as my understanding that you are part and parcel of God? My dealing with you is on different platform. My understanding on different platform. So we have added these two things together. Based on true awareness and understanding of the needs of body, mind and soul. We have to first learn to understand what are the needs of body, what are the needs of mind and what are the needs of soul. And mind you, all these three needs are different. Body needs something else. Body needs sleep, body needs food, body needs medicines when they are sick, body needs to take bath, needs to be clothed, it needs to be sheltered. Mind needs love, emotions and emotional care, compassion, kindness. Mind needs so many things which are body, not body, what is requiring by body. And what soul requires is exactly what body doesn't require, exactly opposite of that. Soul requires the holy name, soul requires devotion, soul requires connection with the Lord, soul requires to serve the Lord, soul requires devotion, soul requires compassion. So needs of the body and the soul are different. So the care what is proposed here that we will offer is understanding the needs of all three, body, mind and soul. So what is spiritual care? It's a vast subject matter. It cannot be understood in two, three days or 2, 3 hours or one session. But still we would like to define it in a very simple manner to understand. Spiritual care is a process of nourishing a person. Now, the person is a soul. The person may be female, male, or any other person. Maybe American or Indian or South African or whatever. The person is, in this case, can be a patient, but also a general person. Spiritual care is not only given to sick people, by the way. Please understand. Spiritual care is not given only when you fall sick. Spiritual care is an all-time need, whether you are sick or not sick, married or unmarried, healthy or unhealthy. All the time you need spiritual care because you are spirit. As long as you understand you are spirit, you need spiritual care. It's like you drink milk in the morning, you take lunch in the afternoon, that much you need spiritual care. How much you need milk in the morning and lunch in the afternoon? Every day you need. Whether you are a thin person or thick, fat person, or whether you are a rich man or poor man, you need to take breakfast in the morning and lunch in the afternoon and dinner in the evening. Like that much you require spiritual care every day, and it is nourishing the person with compassion. Compassion is a big term. Compassion comes from God. It doesn't come from me. I borrow it from the Lord by practicing spiritual services and prayers and talking, calling the name of the Lord every day. I develop that compassion by my practice, day-to-day practice. So, nourishing the person with compassion and knowledge of the soul and Supreme Lord. Everybody should know before we give the care that you are part and parcel of God and there is Supreme God and you have a relationship with Him. You may not know Him now, but you have a relationship with Him which we have forgotten. So, giving knowledge of that and personal counseling, because when person falls sick, Why it doesn't fall sick? He has so many questions otherwise also. Why this? Why not this? Why me only? Who is God? Where is he? Why is he not doing anything now? Is he blind? Or is he deaf? Is he not seeing what's happening in my life? If at all he exists over there, why is he not doing anything now? So many questions are there. Even if you are not sick. Huh? So personal counseling. To make him understand on the platform of truth. Not just goody-goody, goal-goal counseling. Just to make you happy at that moment of time. No. Personal counseling in this case is honest and on the platform of truth. Okay? So I said compassion, knowledge of the soul and Supreme Lord, personal counseling, and to help the person to connect with the Supreme Lord on the level of body and mind soul. So when we mean spiritual care, we mean connecting the person with the Lord. Not only his body, not only mind, his soul. When soul is connected, automatically body and mind also is connected. Soul is the ultimate level of your existence. So when you are connected to the Lord on the spiritual platform, on the level of soul, automatically your mind, emotions, everything is connected with the Lord as a body also. Okay? Now, many people consider spiritual care. I'll give example to you. A very funny thing in what the people think in the world, who are doing big researches. But how their basic understanding is not correct, we were trying to explain to you here. The basic understanding of spiritual care, before even you give spiritual care, is to understand that you and me both are spirit souls. And we are part and parcel of that Supreme Lord who is Super Soul, Paramatma. And I have a relation with him. And so you also have a relation with him. So when I give care to you, I have the understanding that you are as much as part of Lord as I am. And all of you are. So I don't consider myself higher than you and consider you as lower than me. I know I am soul, you are soul. Here we are there to connect with the Lord together, with each other's help. So I give example to you. In some place, they were considering that they were giving spiritual care. And the patient was in last stage, and the patient desired that, I want to meet my mother who is in Bangalore. Patient was in Delhi. So the hospital staff, one group of people, they arranged for all the necessary things so that the patient can meet the mother in Bangalore. And they termed it as spiritual care. Is it right? Is it spiritual care? Or is it not spiritual care? If yes, why? If no, why? Anybody can comment? At best, it can be termed as familial care. Family wanted to meet each other, they arranged for that. At best, you can also call it as emotional care. He had emotion to meet his mother, the hospital staff arranged for it. But was there God anywhere in between? There was no God in between anywhere. It's just a personal interaction. So spiritual care, by definition, whenever you do spiritual care, element of God has to be involved in that. Otherwise, it is not spiritual care. You can call it anything. It's a very nice thing. It's not a bad thing to help a patient to meet his mother before he dies. But don't term it as a spiritual care. It is a family care. It is emotional care. It is social care. If I give money to you when you are sick and you don't have money to pay for your charges, it's a financial help. It's not spiritual help. I may have given to you with love to help you out of compassion, but it's not spiritual help. Spiritual help means God has to be involved in that. And if God is involved in that with understanding, then you're giving money, giving counseling, giving compassion, everything turns to be spiritual because it's all meant for spiritual care. In of themselves, it's not spiritual. But when connected with God, it becomes spiritual. This microphone, this is spiritual or material? But when I use this to talk about the Lord, this becomes spiritual. In of itself, it is not spiritual, not material. It's just a combination of some matter, some technology. I can sing a disco song here. I can sing a vulgar song here. I can use bad words here like politicians. Or I can give you a summon on Bible or Bhagavad Gita or Quran. Then that microphone will become spiritual or non-spiritual. So nothing is spiritual or non-spiritual. The connection of that item with God makes that thing spiritual. Next. In the world, what is happening? in medical field, nursing field, spiritual care is provided, no doubt about it. But it is only when it is wanted, it is provided. Like in America, the scene is that you can't talk about church in the hospital. Spirituality cannot enter in the hospital unless the patient demands. Patient is the boss. If he says, ki, right now I want a father to come and read Bible for me, particular chapter, then the hospital is obliged. It has to arrange a priest from a particular church, particular denomination, call the priest and he will read Bible for the patient. Or a patient may be a Hindu, so he will say, abhi mereko Bhagavad Gita sunna hai. So they have to arrange somebody local to come and read. But on their own in America or England, you can't offer spiritual care. It cannot be general. And mostly, beyond that, it is provided at the end of life. So people in the world generally think that spiritual care means jab aadmi marta hai na, to usko dena hota hai. Both these concepts are correct and right, but they are very limited. Only at a particular condition only you are entitled for spiritual care. Otherwise, it is not entitled. But I want to very happily tell you that in our hospital, the model that we have of spiritual care, it is provided to each and every patient without discrimination. Which means one can be atheistic person or another person can be very advanced. He may be a saintly person. Right now at this moment, we have in our hospital most advanced saintly people admitted. And we have people who are atheistic, who don't even believe in God. And all of them receive spiritual care here. So how do we give care to the atheistic people? By creating a good ambience, resounding of the holy name, the food that we give to very sanctified food, there is no violence in the food, there is no meat in that. Meat means food created out of violence. There is no food here which is out of violence. So the atmosphere is quite spiritual. The business here is very honest. There's no cheating process. So from many angles, the hospital is a very honest and very kind and very truthful place. Through that, we give them spiritual care. And to those who are very spiritually advanced, then we give directly, we talk about the Lord to them and nourish them with their feelings and whatever makes them happy, what kind of topics they want to discuss with us, we provide them. So it is given to everybody without discrimination, not only at the end of life or at the time of requirement, ki I am demanding. They receive it by default. Wherever you go in the world, you receive the air, right? Air is by default available to you. Like that, spiritual care should be available. Whenever you come to the hospital atmosphere is such that you receive spiritual care through that only. Then, this is a very important line, from womb to the tomb. That means the time when one is conceived, the soul or the living entity enters in the womb and the mother becomes pregnant. Right from that time till the tomb, that means at death, when you go to tomb after you die. So spiritual care is given at all these stages of life in this hospital. Even when there are pregnant people, we provide garbha sanskar here. We also advise people, this is called Garbha Dhan Sanskar. This is all there in our scriptures. Before becoming pregnant, what kind of rituals and prayers to be done so that we can conceive a particular kind of soul, devotional soul with good qualities, how to do that? There's a science behind it. After you do that, then you conceive, you become pregnant, then in pregnancy is a 9-month long period of time where so many things happen in your life. I'm sure many of you must have become pregnant and given birth to children. Those 9 months are very precious. First trimester is different than second trimester. And third one is more different than the two also. And then comes the delivery. Then comes the lactation of 6 months exclusive. I'm sure you require different guidances at different periods of time in one pregnancy also. Is it right? So all that differentiation, first, second and third trimester with delivery and lactation is all spiritualized over here. With Garbha Sanskar seminars that we conduct over here. And mothers come in all trimesters, different trimesters and get trained. And we are now doing research on those children who have received our Garbha Sanskar care and are born. How are they performing in their life? How they are growing up? What kind of personality they develop? We are doing a research now. So in next about 5 years, we'll come up with some standard record. What happened to those children who are born without Garbha Sanskar and what happened to children who are born with Garbha Sanskar? We can prove to you that what are the changes that happen in those people's lives who are born with garbha sanskar. And my dear friends, those who are here, those who come from outside, regular garbha sanskar programs are performed over here very scientifically, with lot of knowledge of scriptures and practical understanding, because the person who performs it is also a doctor herself, Dr. Komal Dalal. Okay, then the spiritual care here is also provided to the sick and to healthy as well. Who is sick and who is healthy? The patients are sick, but the employees are healthy. They are not sick. They are not supposed to be sick, by the way. You can fall sick, it's all right. But mostly when you are on duty, you are supposed to be not sick. You are supposed to be sick, well. And so the spiritual care is given here to all the employees also who are not well, who are okay, and to those who are patients who are sick. So there is no differentiation. Then from bedside care to pilgrimage. Did you understand this? I think madam understands, all of you understand. We give care when patient is admitted here, in the form of counseling, in the form of talking, in the form of knowledge, in the form of answering many questions, in the form of being kind to them. That is their bedside. But they are sick, they are getting treatment, they are getting well. Then they go home. And some of them are very inspired with the care that they received. They had asked some questions also by the time of discharge. They were also asking some questions. Why this, why that, how you do this and why you do that. Many questions they have asked, and some curiosity has been there in the heart at the time of discharge. So they come again in the hospital. There are a variety of programs for them. Premanjali, Parivartan, Journey of Self-Discovery, and Mentor Guidance and Counseling Guidance. Many programs are available over here. And one of the programs which is available here is pilgrimage to holy places. That's why I mentioned over here, from bedside to pilgrimage. We take our employees and our patients and their family members to many holy places. And 3 days or 4 days intensely we spend there in discussing about the Lord and the purpose of life and what to do practically and what happened over there and what is the message for us. Everything is taught to them. So that time they are not patients. They were patients before. So our care begins at bedside and maybe is going all the way to pilgrimage and also goes all the way to the tomb also. Now, there are certain principles on which our spiritual care is based, and these are the 5 principles. Any of you like to read? You like to read this loudly? Sitting only. Yes? Loudly please. Mercy. Yes. So mercy is a principle in which we do not cause any harm to any living entity. Our diet, our lifestyle, our habits of talking, we don't hurt anybody, even at emotional levels. We are supposed to be like that. And we are supposed to eat vegetarian food because non-veg food is produced with hurting somebody with life. And then the non-veg food comes. So the first principle is mercy. Second is austerity. That means if you want to even create and regain your health, you have to follow some rules and regulations, right? What does doctor do? Doctor is giving you some medicines and then he gives some principles to you. Ki aapko sugar nahi khana hai, aapko masala nahi khana hai, aapko raat ko der se nahi khana hai. This is called as rules and regulations. Medicines are there, but medicines will act on you in the best possible way when there is some rules and regulations. You cannot have insulin and metformin and gulab jam together. Right, na? It will be foolish to do that. So your medicines like insulin and metformin will work when you follow the regulation of not eating any sweets or permitted amount of sweets. So that is called as austerity. Austerity means the ability to follow rules and regulations. And I'm sure all of you are nurses, well-qualified nurses, you know, without following some rules and regulations, one can't even get healthy also. What to speak of earning money and running a family? What to speak of flying to Bombay to Delhi? Rules and regulations are very important. You cannot say, ki, I will not go undergo security. I'll just go walk in the flight. Now, if you want to walk, travel by flight, you have to go to security, you have to buy a ticket, take a boarding pass, and again second check and third check, and you are in the flight and you can't play your mobiles and it has to be switched off. So want to do a particular thing in life, you have to follow rules and regulations. That is second principle. Third principle is truthfulness. I don't have to impress upon you the importance of truthfulness. Truthfulness is so important in life. In your case, suppose you make a mistake, and madam tells you, you forgot to give 2 o'clock dose to your patient. And you can say, no, I didn't, I gave, madam. Patient says, no, she's not given. You say, no, I have given. And this can go on. For one lie, you will speak 10 lies after that. Right from that level of telling lies, even to be truthful about your own self in life. Truthfulness is a very vast terminology. It's not just telling lies and telling truth. It's not that low. Honesty, being trustworthy, being responsible, being answerable, vachan baddha, we say that, no? Pran jai par vachan na jai. We will not give up our principles, even if we die. That is called integrity. Integrity means, I will not give up my principles. Madam, if I have made mistake, I have forgotten 2 o'clock dose to give to patient. Yes, madam, I am sorry. I made a mistake. I will not do it again. That is called as a virtue. So that is another virtue, truthfulness. Then comes cleanliness. Cleanliness also is a very vast term. There is something called as bodily cleanliness, which you take bath and wash your hair and use shampoo and soap and maybe twice a day you do that, every day you do that. Then there is a cleanliness of mind. You don't harbor negative emotions like envy, hatred, anger, dislike of others, intolerance to others. This is all mental dirt. And I'm sure you love people who are mentally clean. You gel with them very nicely. So sweet, so friendly, so helpful, no negative emotion, no anger, no hatred. You can't be with a person who hates you, right? So there's something called as mental cleanliness or purity. And there's something called as spiritual purity also. Having all these negative emotions which are bothering us in our life take you down spiritually also. So there is a principle of cleanliness. There's also cleanliness of surroundings. It is said, Nahi nirmala mant kai karil saban. You heard that, no? Tukaram Maharaj says that. He says, you may be very clean. 50 times you take bath in a day maybe. But your mind is harboring so many negative emotions. It's not cleanliness. At the same time, your atmosphere around you, your table or your bedroom or your kitchen will be clean and neat if your mind is very clean. You check yourself. Some kitchens you go, some friends' kitchens you go, it's all shabby. And some houses you go, it's very neat and clean. At the night time when the lady sleeps, the kitchen is spick and span. It's not just shabby because I'm tired. It's a matter of culture. And that shows how mentally you are. Sometimes you walk in somebody's house and you can make out what is the mentality of this house, the way the house is kept, right? And you walk in somebody's house and you see the house is so clean and neat and well maintained. Even if you visit suddenly, you still find the house well maintained. So you understand these people's mentality. So cleanliness is of various levels. Of surroundings, of your body, of your mind, of your soul. All this cleanliness is important to become successful in life. And the last one is the holy name. So M, A, T, C and H. The holy name is the most integral part of the spiritual care formula over here. To come to the level of holy name, one has to be merciful, one has to be following rules and regulations, one has to be very honest and truthful, one has to be clean at body, mind and soul, and then one can actually chant the holy name and connect with the Lord. You can chant the holy name otherwise also, but without mercy and without following rules and regulations, without being truthful, you cannot effectively connect with the Lord. That's why all this is important. Okay? In our hospital, spiritual care is generic in nature. We are all followers of Hare Krishna movement, no doubt about that. Openly we are Hare Krishnas. We chant Hare Krishna mantra in our prayers everywhere. But the care that we give is not Hindu, Muslim or Islamic. The care is given to not to the Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist. It is given to the soul, to the person. Because beyond you being Christian or Muslim or Hindu, your soul is not Muslim, Hindu or Christian. Your soul is a soul. Soul doesn't have any caste or religion or language. Soul is soul. Soul is part and parcel of God. Soul is very pure. So whether it is Muslim soul or Hindu soul, soul is soul. And when you prick, the same kind of color, same color of blood comes out. It doesn't that in Muslim people, green blood comes out. Huh? It's not like that. Same color of blood comes out. So we consider everybody to be equal. And if somebody is Muslim, we will encourage him to remember Allah through our care. If somebody is Christian, we will encourage you to remember Jesus through our care. If somebody is Hindu, we will chant the name of Krishna or Ram to encourage you to remember Lord Rama and Krishna. Generic means no differentiation, or less care to Christians and more care to Hindus. Even that is not there. That should not be there. Secondly, spiritual care is offered free of charge. One of the most important cardinal features of spiritual care is it is free of charge. You ask our staff who is working in the hospital. We have full-fledged 30 people working in our department, all fully paid, including myself. But when we visit our patient, by default we have rounds and we visit. We don't write the round. At 10 a.m. Dr. Shanbhag visited, 500 rupees. It's not like that. Doctors will come, write their visits, emergency visits, separate money. Normal visits, separate money. Daytime, nighttime, different money. But spiritual care staff, counselors, assistant counselors, and senior counselors, whoever goes and meets patients, sometimes you send 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour, whatever time required, no charges are applied. Because we believe firmly that spiritual care that we have received through scriptures to us, God has not charged us. God has given His holy name to us as a part of our spiritual care. We use it to help the patient. God has not charged for His holy name to you and to me. So why we should charge? Spiritual care is also voluntary. It means, what does it mean? Suppose you are admitted in the hospital. Right now you have a very high fever, 105 fever, with chills and rigors, and you are not eaten, you are dehydrated, you are in pain, you have severe headache. That time we will not start giving spiritual care to you. You can say, sir, I am not well, come please tomorrow morning. That time our spiritual care will be kindness and compassionate care. Being very kind and very helpful to the patient. Being nice with the patient. Being genuinely nice with the patient. Is that time spiritual care. When he may get well, you again go and knock the door. That time you may say, yes madam, you can come in now. I can talk to you now. Today I am all right. So spiritual care is not forced on people. Just because you are in Bhakti Vedanta Hospital and just because the hospital is spiritual, you have to listen to me. Because we don't charge also to you. You must listen to me. It's not like that. You can choose not to listen at a particular time and to listen at a particular time as per your choice. Fourth, spiritual care is offered in a customized manner with expert guidance. There are many people here who are trained for many, many years in spiritual life and in spiritual care giving to the patients, and they devise a plan. Most of the times people are having different needs at different times. Even the most advanced personality who comes here as saintly people, who when they are sick, they need different level of spiritual care. But by default we know one thing, an atheistic person or a spiritually advanced person, both kind of people always require spiritual care. A most advanced saintly people may be a sannyasi or maybe a guru or maybe a priest who comes here, when he falls sick, he also needs spiritual care. The kind of care is different that he needs, but care is required and must be given to everybody. So it is customized. It is not generalized. Generalized care is there in the form of the ambience and the holy names resounding and the temple going around and food which is sanctified. It is generalized care. When it comes to talking and counseling, it is specific. It is individual. It's not like we call 4 persons together and give the same lecture to them. The same talk to them. It's not like that. When I sit here and give lecture to 50-60 people, I will talk the same thing to 50-60 people. When I go to bedside, I will talk different to different people as per their requirement, right? If you have taken a full meal and you come to my house, what do I offer you? A sweet. I don't offer you again a full meal because already taken full meal. So your need is different. If you are hungry and you come at 12 o'clock at my house, I will give you full meal to you. Because that time your need is to have full lunch. So like that, in a similar example, like that, we give care as per a individual requirement. At the same time, our care is mostly depending upon prayers and counseling. These are the two important cardinal events or activities that we perform. That we give care mostly based on prayers and counseling as per the discussion with the patient. What is the goal of spiritual care? Why we are doing spiritual care? What do we want to achieve by spiritual care? Spiritual care is to create harmony with the mother nature and to the will of the Lord. What does actually that mean? Many people are asking us, doctor, why it is happening to me? I never did bad to anybody. Just look at my neighbor. He is so sinful. He does so many wrong things. But I don't find his mother having cancer, his child having disease and child failing in the exams. I don't find that. I find them prospering and enjoying their life. Why me only, my Lord? That means he has a difficulty in accepting what Lord is giving him. There's a plan of the Lord in everything that happens in your life. Everything happens in your life and my life with the plan of the Lord. With the divine plan of the Lord, our life is being monitored by the Lord. But patients, when they are sick and suffering, it is very difficult to accept that. It is my Lord's good plan for me. No, I can't accept it because I'm suffering. How can that make me feel bad, be good for me? So, the whole goal of counseling that we do is to help the patient to accept the condition as it is. Sometimes you receive 6 chemotherapy cycles and you do sonography, follow up, what happens? Double the size of tumors are found than before. Isn't that true? Many times we have seen this. 6 cycles are over. 5th cycle showed decrease in the size of tumors. 6th cycle is given with the hope that everything will be finished and I'll be going home happily. And you do 6th cycle and you follow up, and what happens is that more size of tumors are seen. And widespread spread of the tumors are seen also. At that time, what do? We say, sorry now, chemotherapy of no use now. We have tried our best. I don't think next more chemotherapies if you give with different drugs will solve this problem. Our experience tells us that. That means what you are doing with the patient? You are trying to make the patient accept the situation as it is. Patient can do two things. Patient can start shouting, fighting, being unhappy, cursing everybody, mother, father, doctor, nurse, everybody, getting angry with everybody. Or patient may say, well, this is what is destined for me. This is what the will of Lord is for me. Maybe something good is there in that. And he can remain peaceful. Now you tell me, whether God's will is there or not there, what is the better condition? You tell me. If you've done 6 chemotherapies, your tumors are not reducing in size, they're growing in size. Better to reconcile with the situation and say, okay, if I have to die, what? How can I stop my death? Doctors are not gods to stop your death, right? So best in your situation or like that is to make is help to help you to accept the situation as it is. What patients require that time? They are lacking willpower that time. They have become weak by the situations. Situations have made them very, very weak and emotional. So what does the spiritual care do? Spiritual care nourishes those people with strength, inner strength, to accept and bear the situation with brave understanding. And many times when you are able to accept that, then you become happy actually. You also accept that I'm going to die in 3 months. And you start telling, in the 3 months, why should I keep crying? I've got 3 months, 90 days to live. Let me live happily. With the disease, with the growing disease, I accept that I'm going to die in 3 months. But I will enjoy every single day of the 90 days. If you can bring the patient to that level, your spiritual care is successful. And you cannot do, without referring to God, you cannot give the patient that strength to accept the fact as they are. It's very difficult actually. Then comes, and to unite him with the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. If you can do this, if you can make him or her accept the reality as it is, then he is easily able to connect with the Lord. Then he says, my Lord, there's one stage that you curse God. Where is God? I served him so many times in my life. I was a devotee for him for years and years and years. I did this vrata, that vrata. I went to this holy place, that holy place. I did this charity, that charity. I chanted the holy name. On the Ekadashi, I chanted so many rounds of the Maha Mantra. And see what has happened to me. I did not expect this to happen to me. This can be one reaction. Or other reaction, whatever happens, happens for good. I may not understand, but I know my Lord will never do anything which is bad for me. Even when you slap your child when he steals pencil of the neighbor, are you doing out of hatred? How many of you have slapped your child when your child has stolen something? Most of you must have done that. But you are sure that I am slapping my child out of love, not because I hate my child. Is that true? Are you hating your child? No. So that slap the child is accepting as, what kind of mother is she? So cruel she is. I stole one small pencil and she's slapping on my cheek. See, 5 finger marks are here. that a child is thinking. But when the child grows up and remembers the event, he says, "Thank you, Mama. You saved me from bigger robberies in the future. Because that time you slapped me, made my cheek resigned with five fingers. Today I'm a nice gentleman." That time he may curse mother as a cruel mother. But when he grows up, he will thank the mother. What is the meaning of growing up? The child has developed knowledge of what is right and wrong. So when we can say we have developed, when we understand the purpose behind the things that happen in our life. So spiritual care means you make people understand why things are happening the way they are happening, and to accept those things as they are, and to become strong enough to bear it. And last is still love and devote to the Lord. And there are people, my dear friends, I'm not talking theory and beautiful, nice, poetic things here. I know people who have thanked God for their worst of their pains in life just because of spirituality, just because of help through someone which is received by them. There's so many examples. I show you photographs also. People who are not very, long beard and 70-year-old, great practitioners of spirituality, saintly people, and who have been in Himalayas and they were renounced and they could face it and they could say thank you to the Lord. No, I'm talking about 30-year-old, young, just married boy who had cancer and was so grateful to the Lord for everything that he received. Worst things that you may think he has received. But because he was spiritual, and because he was receiving spiritual care, he could face the situations which are so-called bad situations with gratitude in the heart, with thankfulness to the Lord and to everybody around. Okay? So this is how, whatever I told you till now is in principle what exactly happens when you say spiritual care and what exactly the principles are behind spiritual care. The first implementation of the principle of spiritual care, the staff members all come together every morning 4 times a day in a prayer. They spend only 10 minutes, recite a prayer, hear a 5-minute lecture with some senior person, and they go back to duty. What is the meaning of that? We charge our spiritual batteries before we go to the work to serve our patients. So we request everybody alike, please come down. You may be on first duty, maybe on second shift, maybe on third shift, maybe on general shift. Come before your duty once in a day, not all 4 times. Spend 10 minutes, listen to the message of God, nourish yourself, and go to serve your patients in the name of the Lord. Then there is, this is called as spiritual care lifestyle chart. The patients are admitted, they're all right. We take some, fill some forms with them. What do you eat? When do you get up? When do you sleep in the night? What do you do at your spare time? And very amazing information comes. Sometimes patient tells, "Ki, I am sleeping at the night at 4 a.m. in the morning." It's not night, morning only. I get up at 12 in the morning, or 11:30 in the morning. I take breakfast at 1:30, take my lunch at 6:30, take dinner at 1 a.m. and sleep at 4 a.m. after doing all my WhatsApp and Facebook work. That is the findings of the lifestyle form. Then there's a diet form that we fill up. In that, amazing information comes out. That I take breakfast at 11, take lunch at 2:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening, take my heavy non-veg and paneer meal at 1 a.m. in the morning, and I drink wine, all kinds of things come out. And that is where from we begin talking to them. Spiritual care doesn't mean only talking about God. It also means that we tell you how to live, how to respect the nature around you. This is daytime, this is night time, this is sleeping time, this is wakeful time, this is working time, this is home time. All times have meaning. No, you cannot just work in the night all the time. You are nurses, you are working sometimes. But do you work all the days in the night only? No, you have shifts running around. And still you know that night time is sleeping time, daytime is working time, right? So patients, we start counseling them right from this stage by filling up this form. Then the patient, so you can see, patient is admitted. He has an IV line. The Lord comes to him. There is a temple on the ground floor. Please visit our temple before you go. It's on the ground floor. Fixed temple is there. Lord is there in the temple. But those who cannot go to the temple, there is another set of the Lord's deities on the chariot. And that chariot goes to the patient at bedside. And at the bedside only, the patient can offer prayers and flowers and pray, maybe cry if he wants. And the Lord will go to the next patient. So if you do not have any visitors, Three people definitely come to visit you. That is Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. And you can offer your heart to them in the form of flowers and prayers. Then comes counseling. When patient is ambulatory, he is counseled like this. You will see in my department, many times my people, my manager, my spiritual counselors, they will be sitting with 3-4 people. Sometimes people are crying and he is listening. Regular sessions of counseling goes on. Patients have, don't think patients only have physical problems for which they come here. They may be admitted with the complaint of fever of unknown origin for last 6 days. That may be the history finding. But patient also has a husband who is going to divorce her very soon. Patient also has a son who is having cancer, admitted into Wadia hospital. So many backgrounds are there. He has come to you or she has come to you with a fever of unknown origin for 6 days. But he has come with a package of financial difficulty, of difficulty of relationship with your husband, difficulty of child having cancer and getting admitted in another hospital. So many things are there, right? So counseling is happening here. Then there is same sessions happen at bedside also. You can see spiritual care assistant talking to patients and relatives. Doctor has come, nurse has come and gone, medicines are given, dressing is done, patient is free now. Okay also. He's looking at the ceiling and wondering when to go home. At that time, they come and talk to them. When patients are very favorable, they're very happy, they're inspired, at that time, the beads to chant the holy name of the Lord also is offered as a matter of connecting the patient with the Lord personally. We are giving them connection through our talkings, but they are inspired, then they take the beads also and they start chanting. Then, if patients are sick and they have free time, our nurses, our spiritual care people go and read from scriptures from them. We ask them, what do you want us to read for? There are many people who are volunteers who come from outside, spend 3 hours with the patient to read for them from holy scriptures. Then you can see here, what is happening here? What do you see here? You can see here, what does this mean? Patient is about to go for operation. Looks like a big operation. You can see the patient's face. Patient is very tensed. This is a real picture. How many of you feel that patients need good counseling before surgery? Most of you. Minor operation or major operation or chalazion or ectropion or entropion, whatever smallest to like a heart surgery. What do you think about valve replacement and bypass surgery? Oh my God, so many questions. I just counseled one patient. For 4 days I was talking for the bypass. Every day same questions and same anxiety and same worry. Every day he comes and asks, "Achha, tin block hai? Oh, kitna ghante ka operation hai? 6 ghante ka. Arey bhaap re, 6 ghanta ka? 8 ghanta bhi ho sakta hai? My God." So every day new questions, new answers he has to give and new anxieties he earns. And with new anxiety he comes to us and we have to still keep counseling him. To the day, to the hour, to the minute of operation. That's very important. So what is happening here is, our spiritual care counselor is offering pre-operative care. Okay. Next one, this is a person who is a rickshaw driver who developed a spine cancer. He had a son, his wife died when the birth of the son. He was driving rickshaw in Vrindavan in Mathura district, and then he developed a cancer of spine. He could no more drive rickshaw. He became jobless, he became houseless, he was on the road, and we picked him up from the road and brought them to the hospice and took care of the father, gave job to his son, and my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, went to meet him. And what he must have said, the patient, what do you expect? Kaha Bhagwan ne kya kiya, ek to biwi ko maar diya, phir abhi mere ko wohi kiya jo main riksha chalata hu, abhi main chalane ka mumkin nahi ho gaya, khana pina bhi khich liya Bhagwan ne, sab kuch barbaad kar diya. ऐसा उसमें कुछ नहीं बोला. मोस्ट अमेजिंग थिंग ही टोल्ड माई गुरुदेव कि भगवान बहुत दयालु है, जो करते हैं वो अच्छा करते हैं. कैन यू इमेजिन? दिस कैन बी ओनली हर्ड इन इंडिया, नोवेयर एल्स. ही हैड आल्सो सम फॉरेनर गेस्ट विद हिम, दे वर आल्सो हियरिंग व्हाट दिस पेशेंट इज सेइंग. इट्स अमेजिंग बिकॉज यू हैव अ कैंसर, यू आर गोइंग टू डाई विद दैट. यू कैन डाई क्राइंग क्राइंग एंड क्राइंग, और यू कैन डाई विद ग्रेटफुल हार्ट. एंड दिस पर्सन, इलिटरेट रिक्शा ड्राइवर, पुअरेस्ट मैन ऑन अर्थ इन मथुरा डिस्ट्रिक्ट, ही सेइंग जो भगवान करते हैं वो अच्छा करते हैं. कैसा लगता है आपको? मैं खुश हूँ, जो हो रहा है वो ठीक हो रहा है। आपने मुझे रास्ते से उठा के यहाँ पर लाया, वो तो भगवान ने तो किया। अगर भगवान नहीं होता तो मुझे रास्ते से उठा के आप क्यों लाते? गॉड इज देयर, ही इज टेलिंग, दिस इज वॉट वी आर हियरिंग। हाँ, वी वॉन्ट टू गो ऑन काउंसिल एंड गिव हेल्प टू हिम, ही इज गिविंग स्ट्रेंथ टू अस, सो दिस इज अ फैक्ट। देन यू कैन सी हियर सिस्टर ट्रेसियमा रीडिंग बाइबल। If anybody is dying over here, if he is Christian, we encourage them, bring Bible and read. If he is Hindu, bring Bhagavad Gita and read. Then you see the Muslim patient here reading Holy Quran. So, whatever your faith is and whatever your devotion is, we have to nourish that and encourage that. If I am a Hare Krishna, suppose, and I am told at the last moment of my life when I am dying, name of Allah, I will be very uncomfortable because I have been always chanting Krishna's name. My training and my habit is to hear that. So I will expect somebody to chant Krishna's name in my ears when I am dying. So like that, the same person who is a Muslim or a Christian, he would like to hear Bible or Quran and hear the name of the Lord Jesus at the moment of death. So we have to respect that. Call his priest, encourage him to remember his Lord, his devotion and his feelings about the Lord. Right? Then you see this lady dying, and looking at her care that we gave, her husband, who was alive, joined our hospital in spiritual care department. And after 1 year, he also died in the ICU. He had no money. But he said, I have no money. You served my wife so nicely. She died at your hands so nicely over here. I'm so grateful to you. I lost her, but I'm thankful to all of you. I want to serve you. Can I join as a volunteer in your department? And he joined our department, served us 1 year, and died after 1 year in our ICU only. This is the person who is a saintly person. He's a brahmachari, 29 year old, from Pune. He had cirrhosis of liver, ascites, portal hypertension, esophageal varices, everything he had, last stage. And he was here on the fifth floor, room number 5. And he would go down from this room again and again for admission, ICU. Regularly he used to go for tapping ascites, for encephalitis, for high urea levels, so many things, hyperuremia, so many things. He had a desire that before I die, I want to read a scripture called Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all these 3.5 months that he stayed, our spiritual care giver, she's a German lady. Her name is Narthaki Mataji. She stays here, very senior devotee, very experienced for 40 years. She read this scripture, which has 17 volumes, not one volume. She read it for him all these throughout months. And he completed reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, that means hearing. And then he died one day. So he had a spiritual desire. In his condition of cirrhosis of liver, he had some spiritual desire which he could not do or fulfill in his good health days. And it was fulfilled over here. Yeah. Then this is another picture, is not very clear. See here, a Muslim patient is dying and my spiritual caregiver is reading Quran and praying for them. And the patient's relative is encouraged to chant name of Allah in the ears of his beloved before dying. He is involved in the spiritual care also. Then this patient is dead. He died in the bomb blast. 2006, we had a 6th bomb blast in Mira Bhayandar area. We had 44 patients who came here. 13 of them died on the spot and few more died after some time. So he was one of them. So she is reading from 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which describes about the soul and the Lord. Okay. This is myself. And this is the mother of our general manager, Mr. Mulay. She came previous day and she was very sick, and next day she died. For 3 hours before she died, when she went in the last active stage of dying, at that time we offered our spiritual care to her for three hours in the form of prayers continuously, in the form of reading from scriptures, in the form of giving her tulsi, giving her gangajal, and calling all the beloveds to close to her and give all those things to her regularly till 3 hours. And she passed away. I was monitoring her pulse, first radial, then brachial, then carotid, till last I monitored her. And she left her body in front of our eyes, completely blissful, remembering the Lord. She has been covered with the holy garlands from the Lord's body, from the temples. So all that is possible, holy items were offered to her. In perfect remembrance of the Lord, she left this world. And there are not one, I just put one photo here. There are so many people who have left their life, they died over here in the most wonderful and spiritual way. And what is the response of the patient's relatives? He said, sir, we are very sorry that we lost our father. But we are very happy that he died over here under the care that you have given. Had he been somewhere else, I don't know what kind of care he must have received. I'm telling you, my dear sir, that thank you for giving dignity to my father, because the way he died over here is full respect and dignity. I wish and pray that I will die one day in the same way that my father died here, under your observation and care. So people will feel sorry that you lost their people, but they will be grateful to you and they will expect themselves to also die in the same way. This is my spiritual master. This is that young man, the brother of my spiritual caregiver. This is his spiritual caregiver. She was the one who was giving care to the pre-operative patient. It is her brother only. Only 31 year old. Just married to this girl. And when he developed the cancer, she was 3 months pregnant. He lived for 8 to 9 months. In the process of time, she delivered a baby girl. She was brought to him. He was given care for 3 months over here. And you can imagine, people would go to meet him to, you know, help him out and counsel him and be kind to him. But every time, everybody who came to give care to him, they felt we received care from him. But also he was in deep pain, so he required morphine, he required so much of care, he required massage, he required dressing, he required everything. All that was provided to him, along with spiritual nourishment. Every day reading Bhagavad Gita, every day prayers for him. He was not able to pray himself, so we would pray for him. Turn by turn, 21 young boys, 7 at each shift would serve him in 3 shifts for 3.5 months free of charge. And his last desire was that when he comes to last stage of dying, he doesn't want to die in the hospital, he wants to die in the temple. So last day, we shifted him from here to temple, and there 300 devotees were waiting for him. In the middle of the devotees, fully conscious, chanting the name of the Lord, hearing the kirtan of the Lord, he passed away. It's a very glorious death. All of us pray and desire that we should die like this one day. In the middle of devotees, in the middle of prayers, you know, everybody is praying for us and we are living in great gratitude and God consciousness. And look at this photograph. This patient died in 7 days after this photo was clicked. She was terminally ill patient. She was a hospice patient. She had a disease which couldn't have been cured. She already was registered under hospice and palliative medicine, palliative care. And she celebrated her birthday 7 days before she died. Now, looking at her, you may feel she's an old and sick lady. But do you make out that she's going to die in 7 days from this photograph? No. The care that she received, although she was in last stages of life, she was very blissful, very grateful and very thankful. She said that, although I am whatever, poor lady, not educated, not very affluent, I don't deserve all these things, but still God is so kind. He sent all of you to us, to me, and gave me such care that I was happy rather than crying and sad. I was happy before I died. And she was very thankful. Another photo I have not put over here. She also died in very, very happy condition, and her daughter was taken care fully by us. Now she's in 11th standard. Okay, I put her in our school. She was educated. So what I'm trying to say is that spiritual care brings happiness in lives of people which are otherwise most miserable. Potentially they can be most miserable lives due to the disease that they got. But you can, by giving spiritual care, bring tons of happiness in their life. It's a project, it's a plan, it's a desire, it's willpower. But you have all, you are having potential, because we are nurses and we are doctors. We are fortunate enough, we are blessed by the Lord with the ability to bring happiness in the lives of those who are unhappy and miserable. Do you agree with me? As nurse, can you bring happiness in the lives of people? Yes. You can relieve them of their pain. You can make them free from their suffering. Even if they are dying, you can make them pain-free by giving morphine intravenous. But make them pain-free and add happiness to their life. And when our turn comes, when we are miserable in the last stage of life, God will send people to you to give spiritual care to you, to make you happy, to make you grateful, and leave this world in the memory of the Lord. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.